Begin the current daf, Masechet Zevachim, daf Mem Vav. Begin on the second line down at the top of the Yamed, where the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of our Mishnah for the previous daf. And the Mishnah has said, although we had in the previous Mishnah, that there are certain items that there's not going to be the halacha of karis, if one consumes this piece of this carbon or this element that had a machshav of pigle in it, because we said that these are things that don't have matir. Either they themselves are the matir, like dam and the klimids, or it's just the whole thing is sacrificed, like the Michas Kayin or the Michas Nesachim. So on that, our Mishnah came to tell us that although these elements don't have pigle, because that's a unique element because it doesn't have material, but the other halachas pertaining to kachim that have a psul in them, specifically that of nicer, if it's left over its designated time, or consuming it in the state of tumah, that would apply to these things. However, said the Mishnah, as our Gemara quotes, chutz m'nadam, except for the blood of a carbon, where not only is there not going to be a chiyuv of pigle, there's also not going to be a chiyuv of nicer and of tumah. Now that says the Gemara, Menon Mili, where do we know this from? That there's not going to be a liability on the blood because of Nisr. Let's say someone made a mistake and he left over the blood beyond its time. He's not going to be liable for two things, rather only one because it's dam. And also, let's say he eats blood, which is forbidden, but if he eats it in a state of physical impurity, he's not going to be liable for a second Isr, that of which generally pertains to a carbon. If someone eats it in a state of physical impurity, he gets that Isr that it's not going to be pertaining regarding blood. So Amar Ula, he says, as Rashi explains, this statement of Ula is not going on our Gemara's question and he's coming to address that question. Rather, the statement of Ula is actually in Masechtas Me'ila Daf Yud Alef Med Alef in the context of Me'ila regarding the halacha of regarding Kachim, that generally there's a halacha of misappropriation. On that, the Mishnah said over there that there's no Me'ila by Damim. Although generally regarding a carbon there's halacha of Me'ila, misappropriation, but regarding the bloods of the carbon there isn't. On that, our Gemara is saying, where do we know the halacha of our Mishnah? On that, our Gemara quotes Ula from the context of Me'ila. What does Ula say over there? He comes to tell us, how do we know there's no Me'ila by Damim? That's not the topic of our Mishnah, but it's going to relate back. Ula says, Amakra, the Pasuk says, in Vayikra, and this is in Perek Yitzayin Pasuk Yitav, that the entirety of the Pasuk says, Ki nefesh habasar bedamhu. The soul, the living element of the flesh is in the blood. And on that part of the Pasuk, Ula quotes, it says, Vanina satim lechem. Hashem says, and I gave it to you. What I give it to you? Ala mizbeach, on the altar, lechapra al nafshei seichem, which is that we know as the zrika, to atone for your souls. Kadamhu banefesh yichabu, because the blood is in the soul. That's what's atoning. It's the blood of the animal that atones for the soul of the person. Now, that says Ula, when it says in the Pasuk, Vanina satim lechem, I gave it for you, meaning it, like chulin, like something that's unconsecrated, Hashem says, shelechem yehei, that it should be yours. Meaning yours, that it's not like even kachim, that there's not going to be halacha me'ila regarding the dam. That's one interpretation, one source for the halacha that there's no me'ila by dam. The Bei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel taught in the Braisa, a different source. Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, like we said, vanina satib lechem al mezbeach, Hashem says, I gave it to you on the altar, lechaper, to atone. What that teaches is lechaper nesatim. Regarding what did Hashem says? Regarding what did I say that the blood of the carbon is considered kachim for atonement, v'loy le'me'ila, and not for anything else, not for me'ila, and therefore regarding me'ila, it does not have the status of kachim, and there's not going to be halacha of me'ila on the dam. A third source, Rabbi Yechon Amar, he says Amakra. The pasuk says, like we said, damay benafshay, the blood is in the soul. Who it is. Now the word who always connotes yiyeh, who, they all have the shayrish, the root of havaya, of existence, which means to say that it is what it is. That's why Hashem's name is Yud Kei Vav Kei. He is what he is, which is everything is what it is. So that's what the word who connotes, which means to say that it always is, which means to say it doesn't change. So what does that say? Hu lefnei kapara kalacha kapara. The blood's going to be before the atonement, before the zrikas, when the halacha me'ila usually applies, to how it is after the atonement, which teaches us ma'acha kapara ein b'me'ila, just like after the atonement, after the blood is thrown. There's no me'ila, which that's obvious to the Gemara, that once the mitzvah of the carbon is done with it, which is the primary is that the zrikas are done, then there's no more me'ila. Because since there's no more utility for Hashem purposes, because you already did the avodah with it, so it's not called kachi Hashem to have the halacha me'ila. So since there's no me'ila after the atonement, sa'af lefnei kapara ein b'me'ila. So too before the atonement, there's not going to be me'ila, because who tells us it's always going to be the same? And since obviously there's no me'ila after the zrika the dam, so there's no me'ila before, and therefore regarding the dam, which the pasuk tells us who, it means to say it's always going to be the same. So therefore, since it can't be afterwards, it's not going to be before the halachic problem of Me'ilah. Now, the Gemara is going to ultimately conclude, why do we need three psukim for dam? As the Gemara is going to come to explain our initial Gemara's question, because one's coming to exclude dam from Neiser, one from Me'ilah, and one from Tumah. But first, the Gemara goes through the discussion of this last interpretation of Rabbi Yechanan and asks, wait, Amar say, maybe who's telling us the other way around? Say, la'acha kapar or kelefne kapar. After atonement, after the blood is thrown, is like before the atonement. Ma'lefne kapar yesh b'me'ilah, just like before the atonement, there is me'ilah, like every other part of the carbon, there is me'ilah before the dam is thrown. Af la'acha kapar yesh b'me'ilah, maybe it's telling us that to the contrary, that unlike all other parts of the kabbanas, the dam is actually more stringent, that it's going to be me'ilah even after the blood is thrown. How do you know it's a leniency to say that even before it doesn't have me'ilah? That says the Gemara, no. Ein lecha davar shenasas mitzvasei u'ma'olam bay. Can't be, there's nothing that, if the mitzvah was already done with it, that me'ilah would still pertain, because it's not more kachi gavai, the mitzvah was done with it. And therefore, obviously, you cannot expound it like that, rather like the opposite way, that since there's no me'ilah afterwards, there's obviously no me'ilah beforehand. Now that is the Gemara, v'loi? Is that really so, that there is nothing that, once the mitzvah is done with it, that there's not going to be iser of using it for personal purposes, which is what the halacha mitla is. And you have the halacha of the elevation of the ashes, which is every single day. The kain, the first thing in the morning, would go and take a shovelful and take from the ashes that was full on the mizbeach, because they burn all the limbs and all the sacrificial parts, would take a shovelful of it, put on the eastern side of the ramp that goes up to the mizbeach. As it says over there, v'samay etzla mizbeach, sounds like that's where you should put it, that's where it stays, and that's where it gets absorbed, meaning to say, because you can't use it. It's forbidden to have benefit. But the mitzvah is already done with it. Even the mitzvah of Trumas Hadesh was done with it. The mitzvah of burning the limb was already done with it. So how is there an issur? You see, obviously, that there is a prohibition even on something, and it's considered Kadosh Hashem after the mitzvah was done with it. Says the Gemara, you're right, but Mishum Dabi Trumas Hadesh and Ubigde Kahuna. But since we have two halachas, the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen, and the Kohanic garments of the Kohen Gadol, where he wears, instead of usually he wears eight garments on Yom Kippur, he would wear only four, which he would go into the holiest of the holiest on Yom Kippur, where those garments are forbidden to be used ever again, like it says, Upashet es bigdei abad, he would take it off, venichim shom, he would leave it over there, which teaches that it has to be buried, cannot be used ever again. So you have these two halachas that are shnei kesu maboim ke'echad. They're two reverses that are teaching the same halacha concept, which yes, even after their mitzvah is done with them, which is the Kohen Gadol doing the avodim kippurim with their garments and the ashes being put in the side of mizbeach, are both teaching that it's going to be forbidden even la'acha nasa mitzvasai. And the halacha is b'chol shnei kesu maboim ke'echad eim alamdin. When you have two psukim teaching the same idea, why? If it's a true concept that it pertains everywhere, it's say one place, we'll learn everything from there. If the Torah is saying it in two places, obviously saying we know we have to delineate every time, and if it doesn't say, it does not pertain. So therefore you can learn that from Trumas Hadesh and then say, oh, you see over there the mitzvah is done and still the Kedusha applies to it, because, yeah, the Torah specified that these are exceptions, since there's two verses saying it. And therefore, in our halacha, obviously we're not going to say that La'acha Kapard is going to be Me'ilah, because here you have and you can't learn it to anywhere else. And that is the Gemara, Hanichal Rabbanan Da'amri, but that's only a good answer for the Rabbanan, where there's a Machlegis Rabbanan Rabdeis and Mesechtes Yuma, that they say, in regards to the Kahana, the Kohen Gadol's garments after Yom Kippurim, it says, Venichim Sham, that he has to leave it there, Malamed, that teaches, Shatu'un Geniz has to be buried. You're right, it still has its sanctity, and you can't just use it for mundane purposes, even La'achar Nasim et Svasim Yom Kippurim. But El Reb Deis, the Amar Karnte, Reb Deis, that he says that actually Mutaris Hain L'Kayin Hedid. It's permitted for a regular Kayin to use those four Kahana garments from the Kayin Gadol, which are very much the same as the Kayin Hedid, that he could use it in the base of Mikdash for the rest of the year. Ubalvach Leishtamish Ben L'Yem Kippur Macher, the whole thing when it says he has to leave it there was a Kayin Gadol, cannot use it again for another Yom Kippurim. So then, Ma'ik Lamem, what are you going to say? You're back to the question. You don't have two psukim saying the same idea. Because by the Kohen Gadol's garments actually is permitted after use it. And you only have Trumas Hadeshen. So you should learn from Trumas Hadeshen, say, no, you could see that there is Kedusha, and hence even Me'ilah L'achar Nasa Mitzvasei. So then maybe we should say regarding the Dam, that the opposite drasha. Say, just like there is Me'ilah beforehand, it actually going to be Me'ilah even L'achar, because you could have Kedusha even L'achar Mitzvasei. Says the Gemara, no, because Mishum Dabi Trumas Hadeshen Ve'eglar Bufa. We're still going to have two Pesukim. You'll have Trumas Hadeshen, and you'll have the decapitated calf, which is when they find a dead person somewhere between cities, they don't know who killed them, so you have to bring an egla rufo, where the pasuk says over there, devarim chavalva orfu sham, and they decapitate him over there. That there, obviously we're talking about, we know it's in that nachal over there, there was an extra word to tell you that that's where you do it, and that's where you bury the animal, and that's where it has to stay. I mean to say that even after the mitzvah of the arifa se'egla, it's still going to be forbidden to have benefit from that calf. So if shneik su mabam kech, and I have two psukim, the same idea, that even after the mitzvah, it's going to be forbidden. When you have two psukim teaching the same idea, even the Kohen Drabdaisa, you have a second pasuk, it can't teach to anywhere else, including our halacha of dam, that you're not going to have me'ilo la'achar nas mitzvasek. And that has the Gemara, that only works well according to the pin who holds that when you have two psukim teaching the same idea, you can't teach it to anywhere else. So like we said before, since you can't learn out from there and there's no proof from there, so this pasuk too regarding dam, since we could expound it the opposite way, we're not going to expound it that there's going to be me'ila la'achar zrikas dam, because generally we know that there's no kedusha la'achar nas mitzvasi, and you can't learn it out from those two psukim. But according to the pin that holds it, actually, even when you have two psukim teaching the same idea, you could learn out to other places. So, Michael, what are you going to say? So, good, you have two psukim saying the same idea. Learn out from there. That mandama holds you could. So, you should say the drusha the exact opposite way and say that not only is there me'ilah dam before kapar, but even lacha kapar. Not the way we're saying it, that there's no me'ilah even before, just like there's not afterwards. Says the Gemara, no, because tre mi utik sivi. Even if it's not because of Shnei Sum Mabam Keachad, but in both of those psukim, there's a exclusionary terms to say explicitly not to learn from them. So although generally you can learn from two psukim, but here the psukim are explicitly excluding anything else. Because Hachik says, here by the Egla Rufa, it says, Ha'arufa, the decapitated, which tells us here is where it's going to be Asr, even La'achim Mitzvasi, but not in another place. And the Hasim Ksiv over there by the Trumas Adesh, and it says Vesama, you should place it. Now, it should have just said Vesam, place, which would have told us that it should stay over there. Why is it Vesama, place it? To say, oh, for this and not in another situation. So since you have exclusionary terms, it's telling us to the contrary that you will not say an Isra L'Acha Mitzvah anywhere else, and only here. And that's how we know that you're not going to have me'ila la'acha kapara. And since it says the word hu baydam, tells us that there's not going to be me'ila even lefnei kapara. Now, this is where the Gemara concludes it to answer the question that we had originally asked, that where do we know that there's no halach of neisr and tumma by dam? Because the Gemara says, v'tlasa kroi badam lomali. Now, why do we need three psukim, which were brought by the three different interpretations in the halach of me'ila, lechem, lechaper, hu, to tell you that there's no me'ila by dam? Why do you need three psukim? Says the Gemara, you're right. They're not all teaching me'ila. One is lemu'utim me'ila. One is coming to exclude that there's no halacha of me'ila by dam, even like we said, lefnei kapara. One is minais, excluding it from the halacha of its leftover, its designated time. And the third one is umituma, from the halacha of tuma. So nais is excluded from lechem to tell you that it's like other chulin and not like kachim. L'chaper, when it tells you I gave it to you for atonement for kachim and not for anything else of kachim, but rather like chulin, is to tell you that there's not going to be a liability of tuma. And when it says v'hu, like we said, it's excluding from me'ila, where it's saying that it's always going to be the same, just like l'acha kapar, there's no me'ila, so to lefnei kapar, there's not going to be me'ila. Now, however, says the Gemara, of a pigul leitzarachra, the fact that there's no halacha of pigul by dam, like we said in the previous Mishnah, that doesn't even need a pasuk to exclude it, because it's not, like we learned in the Mishnah previously, that Mem Gimel Manav, that said clearly, kol sheyesh lematirin, whatever has permitters, bein la'odam, bein la'mizbeach, whether for a person or whether for the mizbeach, chayav la'mishum pigul, that's where you're going to have a liability of pigul. Now, v'dam gufi matu, but the blood itself doesn't have matirim. It is the permitter. And like we said, regarding all those items that we mentioned in the previous Mishnah, that since they themselves are the matir, they're not going to have the halacha of pigal applying to it. And that's the source, at least from these other two psukim, besides the one of me'ila, that it tells you that neisr and tumah also do not apply to dam. Now, the Gemara teaches another halacha from Amar B'yechanan, which will relate back to halacha of our Mishnah. B'yechanan says, shleisha krisis b'shlamim lama. Why is it necessary to say three times in the Torah that if a person is tamei in regards to a kachim, where it says in the context of a carbon shlamim, that he's going to get a punishment of karas? Once it says in Meyukach of Beis, Emra Aleim Lodari Seichem, etc., where it talks about the prohibition of tamei and the carbon. Another time it says in Perek Zayin, Vanefesh Ashotechol Basra, and he's a state of impurity. And again, over there, the pasuk right near there, it says, Nefesh Kisiga B'chol Tomas Adam, he's going to be tamei, he's going to partake of kachim. Why does it say three times a punishment of Koris regarding being in the state of Tumah of a carbon and of Shlamin. So on that, the Gemara continues, Rabbi Yochanan says, we continue to Tumah Beis, Achas Lechlal. One time that it says is to tell you a general statement. V'achas Leprat, and another time, the second time, is to tell you a specific, meaning to expound one of the Yud Gimel Midas Atar Nedreshben from the Brace of Rabbi Shmuel, which is known as Davar Shehoyah Bechlal. You had something that was in a general category. It said one time, this halacha, which we would think pertain to every type of kachim, that there's a prohibition, there's a liability of karis if one consumes it in a state of impurity. Now, then, it says a different parsha, which says a prat, which is v'yatzim min haklal. It's excluded from the general category, meaning it's mentioned individually, that of shlamim. That's what's called lalamed, it's coming to teach something. Now, like as the statement says, loy lalamed al atzma yatz, it's not coming to teach just regarding itself. Ela lalamed al kol kul yatz, rather it's coming to teach regarding the whole entire general category. Because the pasuk says, v'nefesh asher teichel basam ezebech shlamim, the person that's going to eat from a carbon shlamim in the state of impurity. Now, shlamim was included in all the kachim, which already had the klal of telling you the halacha of kachim forbidden with tumah. Why was it specifically mentioned as a prat? To compare the halacha of the whole klal to the carbon shlamim, which teaches us, just like shlamim are distinct, that they're kachim mizbeach, it's a carbon, something that has physical sanctity, that's offered on the altar. Also, all the halachas of the tumah regarding kachim has to be kachim mizbeach, which would exclude kachim betik abayis, that there isn't that halacha of the karis if one partakes of it in the state of tumah. And v'achas, the third time that it mentions, it's l'dvarm she'en nechalim, comes to teach regarding things that are not usually eaten, like the firewood that's burnt on the mizbeach and levain, the frankincense, which are not generally edible. If a person eats of it in the state of physical impurity, he's going to be liable karis, which is like the rabbanan of our Mishnah who say that. Which the Gemara then asks, but Reb Shimon in our Mishnah, the Amad that he said, dvarm she'en nechalim, the things that are not eaten in chayav nele mishum tumah, there's not going to be liability of tumah for karas, so lasu yamai, then what is that third one coming to include? So says the Gemara, lasu yachatoyas hapanimis, it would come to include those carbon chatoyas that its blood are thrown inside the heichel and the mizbeach hazav. Why do I need to include that to tell you that those kachim, there's going to be liability for tumah? Because sagit et chamina, I would have thought to say, hayil v'am Reb Shimon, since Reb Shimon, who that's the opinion we're coming to explain, he says a different halacha. He says, kol she'en al mizbeach hachitz and kashlamim, whatever is not, has his blood thrown on the outer altar, like shlamim. Ein chayav nala mishum pigol, then there's no liability of pigol, because we learn out the halacha of pigol from shlamim. So says the Gemara, so I would have thought to say that just like Reb Shimon expounds from shlamim, that regarding pigol, it's only something that is brought on the mizbeach hachitzin like shlamim, and only then are you chayav for pigol. So therefore, I would have said the same thing for Reb Shimon, that we would learn from shlamim, which is where these halachas of karas of tumah are mentioned, that just like by tumah, it's going to be only something which is blood is thrown on the outer altar, like shlamim, only then you can be chayav for tumah. And therefore, mishum tumah namad lechayav, and therefore also regarding the halach of tumah, just like he says regarding pigol, does not apply to chatoyas apanimis, so to halach of tumah should not apply. Kamash malam, that's why he mentions the halach of karas a third time, to tell you that it's even going to apply to chatoyas apanimis if he partakes of it with the state of impurity, that there's a chiyav of karas. Now, our Mishnah mentions, as we just quoted, this machlekes, numi Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon says, and therefore then one wouldn't be gerus the next word, but mechayiv eshadarcha lecha b'chulu. Reb Shimon holds that the liability of the halacha of tumah is only for things that are normally eaten. Things that are not normally eaten, then there's not going to be liability of partaking of the kachem in a state of impurity. Now, there's a machlekes in their machlekes. There's a disagreement how to qualify the machlekes in our Mishnah. Itmar was learned as follows. You have Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Shlakish, who are generally together, and you have Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Chanina. Now, chad mehai zuza, you take one from this pier, the chad mehai zuza, and one from the other pier, and they said one common teaching. And then you have the other two, which one from one and one from the other, who said a different opinion. And that is chadama, one of these peers said, to qualify the machlekes as follows. Machlekes, the machlekes that the chacham disagree with Rabbi Shimon, and they hold that there is going to be a liability even with things that are not normally eaten. So that this peer said, that's betumas basar. That's if they ate the firewood and the frankincense, that it that the meat itself, which we're not talking about the meat, but we mean this inedible object, whatever it is, but when we say basa, I mean the chetz, the object, not the person, not the gavra. That's where the Chacham say that there's going to be lashes, because the Pasuk in Vayikra Perek Zayin says v'habasa sheyiga b'chol tamei, which the Gemara says v'chol nevlam levavim beid. The word v'habasa is extra over there, which comes to include even etzim levaina. Aval b'tumas haguf, but this peer said, but regarding when the person, when the individual has a physical impurity, and the object, the meat, the frankincense, the inedible object is actually tahar, then divrei hakol ein alaika. Then everyone would agree that actually there would not be lashes, because there is no rebirth. There's no inclusionary term to tell us it's even going to be for inedible things. B'chad amar, whereas the other one says, k'machlekes bezu kach machlekes bezu. The other peer said that no, just like they disagree regarding if the meat is tamei, so do they disagree if the person's tamei, that the Chacham are still going to say that even over there there's going to be lashes. My time, what's the reason? Kimin de Karina Bay, since we recite the Pasuk in Vayikra that talks about Vabasa Shayiga Bechol Tamei, regarding the meat, that it touches anything that's tamei, then there's a prohibition of partaking of the meat when it's tamei. And we're saying the Rabban hold from the extra word Vabasa, that includes even if that tamei meat is inedible, like things that are firewood or things like that. So Karina Bay said, therefore, we'll also recite the Pasuk that follows right after that, when it says, Betumasa Yalav, that if the tamei is on him, and then v'nichrasi gets karis. In other words, just like b'tumas basa, the Rabbanan say that you're going to get lashes on even firewood and then frankincense, so the tumas aguf, they're also going to say there's going to be malchus for those types of things like etzim and levain, because the psukma said one right near each other, and therefore they compare the halachas. Now, says the Gemara, Rav Tavyumi masni hachi. Rav Tavyumi taught this machlekes of the peers, one from Rabbi Yechonish and one Rish Lakish, and one Rabbi Laza, one Rabbi Yusuf Chanina, where we pair them up, and that they qualify that this is the machlekes in the Mishnah. Rav Kahane Masni Hachi, he taught this machlekes and the machlekes in the Mishnah in a different way, as follows. We have those two. We have Rabbi Yechon Rish Lakish, which they're disagreeing, and Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Chanina, who are disagreeing, and one of each one was like one of the other one. Now he says, Chad mehaizuzi b'chad mehaizuzi, you have one from this pair and one from that pair, that actually a seifa, not like the first version of Rav Tavyumi. Rav Kahana says that it's going on the statement of Rav Shimon. And this is what they said. Chadama, one peer said, Machleik is that Rav Shimon disagrees with Rabbanan, that there's not going to be lashes. That's only betumas haguv. That's only when the person has the tumah, where there, like we said, the Torah doesn't have a rebu, doesn't have an inclusionary term to say, even for something that's not normally edible. That's where Rav Shimon says that he disagrees and he says it's not going to be lashes. Of Batumas Basar, but regarding the meat being Tameh, where we have a Ribui, Divrei HaKol Laika. That's what one peer says, that then even Rabbi Shimon would agree that there would be lashes. B'charam, and the other peer says, no, Kamachleik is Bezu, Kachamachleik is Bezu. Just like Rabbi Shimon disagrees that there's not going to be lashes by Tumas Aguf, he also holds not going to be lashes by Tumas Basar. So this is coming from the other angle. The Rav Tim Vimi's version was having it regarding the Rabbanan. This that they hold that there's going to be a Chiyiv, is it only by Tumas Basa, or is it even by Tumas Aguf? Here it's coming from Rabbi Shimon. This that he holds that there's not going to be Malkus, is it only by Tumas Aguf, or is it even going to be by Tumas Basa? Now, on that Amar Rava, he says, Mistaber Kamad Am, it's more logical, like the opinion that says, Kamachlik is Bezu, Kach Machlik is Bezu. Like the Machlik is that Rabbi Shimon holds, you're not going to get Malkus by Tumas Aguf, would also hold that you're not going to get Malkus by Tumas Basa. My time, what's the reason? Because Kivin de la Karina Bay, since we do not recite regarding the Eitzim and Levain according to Rabbi Shimon, V'tumasei Alav V'nichrisa, we when the person is Tamei, when he has Tumas Aguf, and he's consuming Eitzim Levain, that's let's say Tar, we do not apply the halacha of Karis in that situation, because like we said, that's the case where Rabbi Shimon disagrees, because we don't have a rebu over there. So then, Likarina Bevabasa Shigi Bechal Tamelayacha. So therefore, by default, since we compare the psukim, he obviously is not going to hold, says Rava, that there's going to be a liability by Tumas Basar either. Because if you did, then you would say, then you would have Batumas Aguf also. So therefore, Rava says, more logical to say, like the one that says, Kamachlik is Bazuk, Kamachlik is Bazuk, there's actually no difference that they both disagree, and Rabbi Shimon is going to hold that even by Tumas HaBasar, it's going to be Loy Laki, you're not going to get lashes for somebody that's not normally eaten. The Gemara asks, but Va'amamar, but the master said, which recorded this from Masechta Schulin, Va'abasar, L'rabbis ate some levaina. There's an extra word, Va'abasar, which comes to include even things that are not normally eaten, like the wood and the frankincense. So how can you say that Reb Shimon would hold that even over there, there's not going to be lashes? But similarly, for Tumas Basar, everyone should agree that, like that version that says that, that everyone would agree that there's going to be a halacha of karas. How can you say that he disagrees even in case of Tumas Basar? That says Rava Lepais Labaama. That's just a rabbinic invalidation. And really, this pasuk of Vahabasar is only what's known as a smachta ba'ama, just an illusion. As the Gemara actually says, the Masechta Pesachim, the Nefchav Talma Beis, that actually one does not get lashes for partaking of the meat when the meat, when the object is in a state of impurity. Rather, that's just an invalidation, and Reb Shimon would disagree, not only when Tumas Aguf, but even Tumas Basar, that, as Rava says, more logical, that opinion, that there's not going to be ever a case of lashes of Tumah, not only by Tumas Aguf, but even by Tumas Basar. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of all the previous Mishnayos, which they had said regarding the Machshava of Pigel, primarily was a big component about having that inappropriate thought while doing the carbon. So that our Mishnah concludes the topic of these Parakim, finishing this Perek, regarding what is the appropriate way of Machshava, of thoughts, of cognitions during the sacrifice of the carbon. Says the Mishnah, L'shem Shisha Dvarim HaZevach Nizbach, for six things, a carbon has to have the thought process as the carbon is being sacrificed. L'shem zevach, for the purpose of the carbon, meaning excluding what's known as shinu kodesh, if someone has in mind that it should be for a different carbon, so that shouldn't be, it should be for this carbon. L'shem zevach, for the one who's bringing the carbon, which excludes the halacha, what's known as shinu bailam, for the person who's bringing the carbon is having in mind that it should be for actually a different person, which these halachas the Gemara learned down in the beginning of the Masechta and the Avdalim Abayz. L'shem Hashem, that it should be brought for Hashem, which is known as the name, but means the name of Hashem, meaning of the creator of the world. L'shem Ishem, for the purposes of being on the fires of the Mizbech. L'shem Reich, for the purposes of being aromatic, which Gemara will explain what's that coming to exclude from all these things, and where do we know the sources from a pasuk. L'shem Nichayach, for the purposes of being pleasing for Hashem. Those are six things. And V'achatas V'ashem L'shem Chet, when one is bringing a certain type of a sin offering, which is a chatas or a guilt offering, it has to be for the sin that he's bringing it for. That has to be the intention that he's having in mind. Now, Amr B'Yesi, he says, Af mishlo hayu b'libi l'shem echad mikel elu kasher. Even if someone did not have in mind any one of these things, it's still going to be valid, because when someone slaughters just plain, it's going to be valid. Shehu t'nai bezdin, because Rabbi Yisi says that actually it's a stipulation of the court that when it's slaughtered, it should be slaughtered just tam, without having anything specific in mind. As the Gemara said in the beginning of Masechta, Beis Mabeis, that the court stipulated not to say lishma, because you might then come to say shaloi lishma. And the reason why that would be a problem is, she'ein ha-machshava ha'ilechas ela acha ha'ovid, because the thought process, which is the thing that's koveya, that establishes the status of the carbon, if it's kasher apostle, goes after the one who's doing the act of the service. And therefore, if he's going to say shalei lishma, even if the owners are saying, I want it to be for the name of a heaven, it's not going to be valid, because it doesn't go based on the owner, rather it goes based on the one who's doing the avayda, like the pasuk says, ha-makrev oisei lo yichashev, the one who's doing the avayda cannot have the machshava, and therefore not to run into any problems, we say, don't think anything, just do it, and do the avayda, and then it's going to be stama lishma, the avayda is going to be kasher. Now, Amr Behudim Rav explained the halacha of our Mishnah, the source for this, is that he expounds the pasuk in the beginning of Sefer V'Yikra that says, Oila isha reich necheich l'Hashem. An oila offering, which is a fire that's consumes it, which is a pleasing aroma for Hashem. Now, as Rashi points out, although the pasuk he's expounding does not refer to the slaughtering of the carbon, which is what our Mishnah said, when the zevach is nizvach, which means when the carbon is slaughtered, which means all the avaydas, but if we're talking about slaughtering, and this pasuk that we're going to bring is not talking about slaughtering, so that says Rashi, it's not a difficulty, because we have by shlamim that it says it in the context of slaughtering, like it says over there in Paragimel, v'hikrev mizevach hashlamim ish l'Hashem, that we're going to bring it near the carbon shlamim, a fire offering for Hashem, which means that the zvicha should be for the purpose of the shlamim, which is, like we said, l'shem zevach, l'shem ishim, l'shem shem. Now, so then why did we pick the pasuk over here? Why is Rav Yehudim Rav quote the pasuk by Oila? It's because by Oila, all the six things are mentioned there in the pasuk, and by Shlomim, it doesn't mention L'Reich Nichayach. But again, the halacha of that it applies even to Shechita, we know from Shlomim, but we picked the pasuk by Oila because it mentions all the six items in our Mishnah. When it says in the pasuk, Oila, that tells us L'shem Oila, that the person should bring it for the purposes of this carbon, which we call L'shem Zevach, which is the Oila, Lafuki L'shem Shlam Delay. Don't have a mind for a different carbon, that of a Shlam. When it says Ishim, on the fire, it means L'shem Ishim, you should bring it for the purposes of being burnt on the fires of the Mizbech, Lafuki Kabab Delay, excluding like kebab, that not, meaning he should not have a mind that he wants to do it to be roasted on the coals. No, that's a machshava psul. His machshava has to be that he's doing it so that it should be totally burnt up on the fires of the Mizbeach. When the pasuk says reyach, an aroma, it means l'shem reyach. He has to do it for the purposes of that it should be for aromatic purposes. Lafuki evarim shetzlon b'halan d'loy, which excludes, if let's say he has a mind that it should be that the limbs should be roasted first and then brought up on top of Mizbeach, that is not valid. Because Amar Yehuda Merav, he says evarim shetzlon b'halan, if the limbs are first roasted and then they put on top of the mizbech, ein behem mishum reich, then there's no more aroma, because once it's roasted first off the mizbech, it then doesn't give off a pleasing aroma like roasted, freshly roasted meat, because it was already roasted once before. So that type of machshava is a machshava psula. Nichayach, pleasing, means l'shem hanachas ruach. It has to be that it's for a pleasing spirit, which is hanachas ruach in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who he said and his will was done. That's the thought that has to be. And Lashem, when it says in the pasuk for Hashem, it means Lashem Misha Amma Vahaya Olam, for the one who said and made the world, which is the machshava we said of Lashem Hashem. That's the last one of the thoughts that has to be that a person has in mind when he's doing the avodah. Now, relating back to the halacha of our mission, the Gemara quotes the following teaching. Amar Rav Yehuda Merav says Chata Sheshachta Lashem Oila Psula, a carbon chatas that's slaughtered when not Lashem Zevach, but rather having in mind the kind is doing the avodah, although it's a karma chata, is having in mind that it should be karma eila. So that's going to be invalid, as we said in the beginning of Masechta. Chatas and Pesach are unique, and that is, if you have a machshava shalei lishma, it's pasul. But l'shem chulin ksher, if he has in mind that it should be an unconsecrated animal, like not even kachim, then it's actually going to be valid. On that, Amar Rabbi Elazar says, my time of the Rav, what's the reason of Rav? Because the pasuk says, v'loy chalu es kachim b'nei yisod, it's a pasuk in Vayikra, says that They will not desecrate the karbanos of the Jewish people. What it sounds like is that nothing else could desecrate a kachim, but rather what would be mechal kachim? Because it's obvious from the pasuk where it says v'shachat ois l'chatas, like we learned in the beginning of the Masechta, that you have to slaughter it for the purpose of being chatas, which teaches us that if you don't, if you do it l'shem davar, it's going to be pasul. But this pasuk makes it sound like that v'lo yichalo, that they cannot be mechalit. So on that says Rabbi Elazar, what Rav was teaching was kachim mechal and kachim. Only kachim could be mechal other kachim, as the Gemara learned in Daf Hayim at Aleph, that when you do a machshava shelo lishma, it's going to be mechal it from the pasuk b'shachar es lachatas. But what the pasuk is teaching is ve'ein chulin mechal and kachim. However, chulin, if that's the machshava, that's not going to be mechal kachim. It's only another kachim that can be mechal the kachim of a kar mechatas. Now, on this teaching of Rav, Masav Rabba, he asked on it from the loch of our Mishnah. Amar Bisi, our Mishnah quoted Rabbi Bisi said, he says, Af mishla hayu baliba l'shem echad mikal eilu, kasher. Even if someone did not have in mind any of these six thoughts during the Avodah, they're still going to be kasher. And moreover, like we said, kushu tonight bezin, it's actually a stipulation of the court not to have them in mind and say it l'shma, because then you might come to say it shalei l'shma, just do it stop. That says, Rabba, taima shla hayu baliba klal. It sounds like that when is it going to be kasher? When he doesn't have anything else in mind, he just does it without any attribution. Therefore, when you bring it, it's going to be lishma, and it's going to be kasher. But the inference is, ha ha, you believe by lishem chulin. Then, but if you had in mind anything else, even lishem chulin, then pasul would be invalid. That contradicts Rav's teaching that says that if you do lishem chulin, it's kasher. Amalei Abayis, Abaya answered to Rabbi, says, no, dilma maybe. I'll tell you as follows. Lo ha you klal. You're right. Like the halacha of our Mishnah that Rabbi says, if a person did not have any other machshavas, any other thoughts, that's kasha umaratza. That's the carbon is valid, and moreover, it's appeasing, meaning to say it fulfills the owner's obligation. Now, hahayu beliba l'shem chulin, the inference would that be, but if he had a mind for it to be chulin, it would still be kasha, like Rav said, but ve'ena maratza, it would not be willing, and therefore it would not fulfill the obligation of the owner. But when Rav said kosher, he said, yeah, the carbon is valid, it's just not meratza for the owner. Contrary, when you do shalei lishma, the carbon is totally pasul. Here it's going to be kosher, it's just not going to be fight ritzui, and therefore it's no contradiction from the halacha of our Mishnah. Now, relating to this halacha, Amar Balasi says, like we said before, chata sheshachta l'shem chulin. For karma chatas is being slaughtered in the Beis HaMikdash, and he knows it's a chatas, but he's slaughtering it for to be like a chulin animal, like an unconsecrated animal. And that, as we said before from Rav, Ksher, it's going to be kosher, because we said chulin cannot be machal kachem like Rabbi Lazar brought the pasuk. However, says Rabbi Lazar, but mishum chulin, let's say he thinks it's chulin, and he's doing it because it's an unconsecrated animal, then pesula, then actually the carbon is going to be invalid, because he's involved in an ulterior activity, and he's not involved in kachem, which is known as misasik. He doesn't realize what he's even doing. He thinks he's, if you know it's a carbon and you're doing it, I want it to be chulin, that doesn't do anything. Because you know it's a carbon. But if you don't even know it's a carbon, you think it's chulin, then it's going to be pasul. Can you buy b'nei Shmuel m'ravun, like Shmuel had asked the Ravun as we continue to have a menzayin met aleph, minayin le'misasik b'kachim. From where do we know regarding if someone is misasik, which means to say he's slaughtering a carbon and he has no clue what he's doing. It's like he's engaged in something else. He's like in another reality, which means misasik. He's just totally preoccupied with something else. How do we know that then shu pasul that the carbon is going to be invalid? Shnemak says the pasuk in the Yikra, it says v'shachat es ben abak lefnei Hashem. You have to slaughter the animal in front of Hashem. What does it mean in front of Hashem? You know what you're doing. You know where you are. Ashtei shchita l'shem ben bakar, until the slaughtering is for the purpose of being the ben bakar. What does it mean shachat es ben abakar? Of course, that's you're slaughtering. No, know what you're slaughtering. You're slaughtering this animal. Only then is it going to be valid. That Omalei, and that Shmuel responded back to Rav Huna. He says, "Zubi adenuhi." What you're answering me, we know this already. This proof, I knew this pasuk, but that only tells us that initially what's called a mitzvah should be done like this. But it doesn't tell us that it's going to be withholding the validity. That it's going to be pasul. La'akiv minay. My question was to ask you, how do you know it's integral? And if one is misasik, it's not only not ideal, but it's actually going to be pasul. Adam Alei, Rav Huna responded, he says, oh, from the passing of a Yikra, it says, Lord Tzainchem Tizbechu, for your willingness, you should slaughter it. Now, the word Ratzin is also a person's desire, his will, it's his consciousness, his whole self. L'daitchem Zevichu, with your thoughts, you should slaughter it, means to say, but if you're not there, you're not conscious, then it's misasik, and then it's going to be possible. And that's the source for that halacha, that we said that if, although l'shem chulin is kasher, but mishum chulin, when you think it's chulin, then the carbon is actually going to be pasul, not because of chulin, but just because you're totally disengaged, you don't even realize it's a carbon, and that's not l'rtzayin chem tizbechu, that's not v'shachas ad banad bakar lefnei Hashem.